I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet. He's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! What a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
March is upon us, and March Madness will soon be hitting the hardwood. We are just over 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday, Tom. Basketball season aplenty this week. We are on the road, though, taking our show to fine establishments like Akron, Toledo, and Mount Pleasant this week.
Well, you know, Akron has one of the great grilled cheese sandwich places in the U.S., so that's the upside there with the Zips. They're the number one team in the conference. Then the women back it up the next night and play the number one team in the conference in Toledo. So you have a chance to knock off the best in the conference. The problem is you're dealing with injuries. You're at a point in the season where you're not going to Cleveland. So how much juice can you generate and get ready for these games? That's what we're going to find out.
We'll bring the juice plenty. We know that. We'll coming up on the broadcast. You look at it, think back to over the weekend. Tough goes for both the men's and women's teams. Tyson Acuff not playing, that changes a lot of dynamics for Eastern Michigan's offense. When you take out 18 points a game and the kind of driving force, you could see it at times. There was just, you were so reliant on him being the guy taking the shot, and you just didn't have that.
Yeah, everybody kind of had to redefine who they were a little bit because Acuff had played in every game but one this season. And without him on the floor, Orlando Lovejoy had to handle the basketball more. You played more Micah Schneiders. They never offensively felt like there was any flow. Maybe a 5-0 run was their best run in that game. And you're playing against good basketball teams. It makes it tough to win. Acuff, probably a no-go against Akron, but may play in the season finale against Central Michigan, which is a good sign because when he went down with the ankle injury, I thought, boy, that's it. His season's over. But he's trying to fight back. And so we'll see. You know, Akron is such a good program. I'm very happy Enrique Freeman and Ali are finally taking their senior days and graduating. It's some of those guys you felt like have been in the conference for about 5-10 years now. So they're growing out of the program. They're a phenomenal basketball team. It'll be a good game, and Eastern Michigan has given everybody a fight down the stretch, and that will continue in the final week on the men's side.
The Zips have rolled off 13 consecutive home victories this year. They'll try to add a 14th on Tuesday night. You got the chance to sit down with Stan Heath and get his comments as they wind down this season. Where's Stan's mindset at this point?
Stan's mindset is that he's got a good core of basketball players, and I think he has evolved over these past three seasons in what he needs to bring into the program to get this team to where it needs to be. And he reminded me, he goes, listen, my first season here, we're still doing the COVID thing. You couldn't bring guys on campus. Right. You couldn't go see guys. You just kind of had to look on film and piece things together. And we also talk a little bit in the interview you'll hear coming up about the challenges of NIL and the portal. You know, Tyson Acuff has had a phenomenal season. He's top 10 in the nation in scoring. He's the best in the MAC when it comes to that. And obviously, the bigger schools want to start poaching, right? You want that guard. You want to do that. They have money to spend. It makes it tough, and it's hard to build a program when you have a you took over, they weren't winning very much, and you're trying to get guys to stay and build that to get on the winning side. When you're where Akron is, they've been winning. So you can keep an Enrique Freeman. You can keep Ali Ali. Those guys are like, hey, it's going great here. We're competing for MAC championships. The grass may be greener elsewhere, but why? We can still get to the NCAA tournament. And that's where Eastern Michigan needs to get, and still a little bit of that puzzle that Stan Heath is trying to solve. He's in a good mindset. It's tough. You got injuries. You're not where you want to be. He didn't certainly think in year three he will still have not made it to Cleveland, but that's where it's at. But he's got a lot of fight in him, and he's growing with the job and understanding college basketball is a lot different than when he coached at Arkansas and Kent State and UCF.
Little different, yeah. The times have changed. There's so many things now stacked against you with, as you mentioned, the portal, name, image, likeness, all that just changes stuff. When Stan was at Kent, it was like, if they had that now, there's no chance Trevor Huffman or Antonio Gates are at Kent State.
Yeah, he had Gates for the one. Yeah, Gates would have gone to a Power Five, or someone would have taken him away. Or, yeah, it's you almost have to catch lightning in a bottle now to get where you need to be, and it's like renting a player.
You hide under the radar and stick them under a rock. Oh, they can't find them.
Yeah, hopefully stuff will change. The NIL situation can't stay like it is.
No.
It's unsustainable. Plus, people aren't talking about this, donor fatigue. Like, say you have big boosters. All right, well, they only have so much money to give, and they can't do it every year in perpetuity. It makes it impossible to sustain.
At some point, you have to say, you feel like they're going to say no, because it's like, oh, my plan for players and my plan for facilities. You want all these other things. Like, at what point do you just say, well, I've got other things I got to pay for too?
Or you give a guy like what Ewers, Ohio State, they gave him like trucks and money, and then he goes to Texas.
Yeah.
Right? Is it Ewers? Is that what I'm thinking?
Yeah. Ewers.
Then he's at Texas and he has that deal. But then you have.
Where all 85 Utah football players got trucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, a car dealership's not going to do that every year. We can't give 85 cars away every year.
Unless you're a really good salesman, then.
If you're salesman of the year.
You're already, right? Oh, I got 85 in commission.
Yeah.
Coming at me.
If you're banking enough commission, you can give away 85 cars. You are the most phenomenal salesperson on earth.
Yeah, that's doing it. Our other conversation this week is with Keisha Blanton. They're coming off a contest at Ball State, an 11 a.m. tip-off in Muncie, a hard place to play anyways. The Cardinals won 11 straight games in their own building. And this week, Eastern gets a team that's also won 11 straight games in its own building, the Toledo Rockets, who have knocked off Toledo already. So a tough go of it there.
Toledo's decent.
They're
a good organization. Yeah, they got matching uniforms and everything. They seem to know what's going on down there. This will be a special game for Keisha Blanton because she went to Toledo. She's from the Toledo area. She's going to have a ton of family and relatives there. And for the first time ever in her professional career, her dad is flying in from Kansas City to watch her coach against Toledo. So it's a special day for her, and she knows she's up against it. Her team is about as banged up as they come. So no matter how much fight they have, it's going to be hard to knock off Toledo. But I think for her, it's just going down there, showing everybody she's doing well, and she's still trying. She's still got the interim tag. She would love to knock that off. We'll talk in our discussion. I ask her point blank, do you think you've done enough to earn this job? And she has a fascinating answer. But she wants to be at Eastern. It's the kind of person you want to be there. But if for some reason the school decides they want to go a different direction coaching-wise, she's going to land on her feet in about 10 minutes. So.
And as you start to peel the onion and find out more about her, you find out just things in her background. Her dad played in the NFL. Her brother, her stepbrother currently plays in the NFL and has not one, not two, but he just earned his third Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, he was on the Kansas City Chiefs practice squad for half this season. So I don't know if that gets you a ring or not.
I think it does.
I think it does, too. So he should get his third ring. He was with the Chiefs last year, and then he started for the Rams in the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford because Higbee was hurt, and he won a Super Bowl ring with them. And it's funny because Keisha Blanton did not go to that Super Bowl game because she was coaching in the Horizon League. They had a Sunday game, and her family's kind of like, you got to take care of your own right? business. I go, I understand taking care of your own business, but when your business is the Super Bowl, maybe someone else take care of your business, and you get yourself out there and watch your brother win the biggest game of his life.
You don't run that back very often. Maybe once. You're not Tom Brady effect doesn't always happen.
No, but apparently for the Blanton family it does. The guy's winning rings every year no matter where he goes. But, yeah, her dad was drafted in the 11th round by Buffalo but played his entire career with the Chiefs. 11th round, like pick 282. That's not even a pick anymore. It'd be about ninth round now with the new teams.
Overcoming the odds.
Yes. Yeah. But it's she's fascinating to talk to. The more time I spent with her out through the season, I like what she's about. I like the headspace the women's basketball team has been in. They know they don't have the wins they should have had. But if you look statistically across the board, everybody's better than they were when she took over the program. And they've given a lot of teams fight. Listen, Ball State's one of the better teams in the country. Still a single-digit game in the third quarter. It got away from them, but when you have injuries, Olivia Smith is out for the season. Like, you're just duct-taping it together here the last week of the season.
EMU women's basketball will close it out at home coming up on Saturday. They get the Falcons of Bowling Green, a 1 o'clock senior day festivity. They'll honor three seniors. Men's basketball closes out on Friday night against the Chippewas in Mount Pleasant. Saturday, also, lacrosse is there on the road at Lafayette. Ball State is the opponent for men's baseball as they will open up MAC play this weekend in Muncie. They get a trip to Vanderbilt coming up tomorrow, a Tuesday night contest against the number 6th-ranked Commodores. That will be a fun one on SEC Network Plus. I wish I was there, but instead I'll be with you.
The Fighting Jay Cutlers. Which night is that game?
Tuesday night.
Yeah, we'll be...
We could go to Vandy or Akron, your choice.
Is it my choice? Because I could curveball it here. Eastern's not going to Cleveland. If we want to just scoot down to Vanderbilt and call baseball, we could do that too. I've never been to Nashville.
I have not. Well, I've been there for a football game. I take that back.
Vanderbilt?
Yes.
Yeah.
So
that stadium needs, they're working on it, but it's.
Yeah, it needs some work. The baseball place.
Top notch.
Chef's kiss, yeah.
Chef's kiss.
We also get a senior day for tennis. That's coming up on Saturday, 1 o'clock, against the Finley Oilers. Because you automatically think of oil and Finley. Right?
That was my first thought. I'm like, it's got to be the Oilers.
And then gymnastics is at a quad in Lincoln, Nebraska. So plenty of things going on. We also can't let you get out of here without... thank you for carrying this broadcast today, Tom.
Both these interviews, I know. Yeah, sometimes
I was slacking.
You got to put it on your back, and what I'll probably do is phone it in for the next 3 weeks. But I did get, you know, it is my beat, college basketball, if you will. So you have the job of 300 men, so I understand. You can't always break free to do interviews.
That's true. I was doing a few other things, so I thank you for doing that because I am getting ready for everybody's favorite, the football schedule release.
Do we have a date?
11 a.m. tomorrow.
All right.
Will be your football schedule release.
Do we get kick times or just dates?
Just dates.
Okay. All right. I'm excited.
So we can play the match now, game off air. I know everybody can do it at home, but I'll give you a little tease.
Well, we know the non-conference schedule off the start.
We know it. Non-conference off the start.
You have you know who we're opening like MAC-wise?
I do.
Are we home or away?
We will open in the state of Ohio somewhere.
I'm going to guess Athens.
I don't know.
It just feels like a long trip to Athens to start MAC play.
In Ohio, you got plenty of choices. There's only, what, five?
It's most
of
the conference, yeah.
Exactly. Well, you can take your guess. We'll have that coming up at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Tom and I, plenty of coverage all week. Hope you join us on the broadcast, and then we'll come back next week with more as we wrap up the basketball season. You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast presented by the Folling Warehouse.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle? whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here. Bowling Warehouse. And sports will never be the same. Bowling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Bowling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Bowling Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Gulfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the mitten.
Joining us now, Stan Heath. And coach, as you go into the final two games of the season and you kind of reflect on what this year has been, what are your thoughts on this season?
Oh, man, just a lot of adversity between injuries and, you know, just trying to kind of build our culture and what we wanted to do. But what I do reflect the most is I do enjoy coaching this team. Like, this is a good group of guys. And you know, Tyson Acuff, obviously, I think, had a kind of one of those breakout type years in a lot of ways, just scoring the ball, being one of the top scorers in the league, one of the top scorers in the country. That was very impressive. But then to see, you know, kind of some other guys come along and be more impactful. Jalen Billingsley kind of evolving into, I think, a guy who can be a very strong contributor for us, but also in the league as well, too. Seeing RNA, you know, a young player, freshman, come in and have, you know, multiple games where literally, you know, it's down the wire and he's hitting critical shots. Kent State was a big shot. The Ball State shot, big shot down there too. Western Michigan, when Acuff went out, the way he was able to almost take over the game himself down the stretch. Some other guys played as well too. So a lot of things I saw that were very encouraging going forward. Obviously, we're still not where we need to be, where we want to be in the win column. But I do feel like there were a lot of games we really need to understand how to win games we're supposed to win.
Right.
You know, you have certain teams that are down a little bit, and you got to win those games. And all of a sudden, we win the games we're supposed to win. We're a team that's in the MAC tournament. And that's kind of the lesson, I think, of the season is we got to get to the point where we protect home and win games we're supposed to win.
How difficult has NIL and the portal made it to find any kind of consistency, really, in any college sport? Because I feel like sometimes you get a guy, you may have him for 9 months, and then they're like, well, maybe I fit better in this program. It doesn't, you know, the days that you and I were used to where you go to a school, you got that guy, you develop him, he becomes a player. Everybody wants to play now. Yeah. It's so much harder now to coach at this level,
this
isn't
is,
it?
This is totally different, and it's everything, and it's affecting probably our level way more than any other level, you know, because of the haves and teams that maybe don't necessarily have the NIL situations other people have. And that's something that we've got to just continue to wrestle with and figure out. If you look at who's having success in our league, it's the teams that have the most experienced veteran guys. Akron has 5 seniors on their team,
All
back, and basically have all played 3 to 4 years all together. It makes a huge difference. You know, Toledo had that last year when they won the league as well. And you can see, you know, Kent losing some of those guys, they're not quite the same as they used to be. But That trying to put a roster together that has some stability,
yes,
is the most important thing. And, you know, I think, you know, finding guys that are really good players, obviously you got to have talent, but at the same time have a little bit of a commitment in terms of, hey, I'm going to be here. You know, I want to get my education. I want to play, in a certain environment with certain guys, whatever it may be coached a certain way. So the NIL thing, it's not going anywhere. So there's two things, trying to build your team, build your culture, but also doing a good job of putting your roster together if that does happen to you, you know, getting
right.
The fifth-year player, getting the portal guy, the right one. Because sometimes the guy who's leaving, you know, he's not necessarily a two-foot-in-your-program kind of guy.
Right.
And you need to have, you know, a team that's bonded together.
Has your strategy from that perspective of recruiting changed a great deal over just this 3-year period? Because when you first came back, right, you come out of the G League and you're like, all right, the whole game has changed now.
Yeah.
And it seems like you got to go through these whole different group of hurdles now to put together the squad you want.
Well, when I first got there, there was two major factors that were happening at the same time that made it very, very difficult. One, you know, when I got the job, a lot of the recruiting cycle was pretty much over.
Right.
So it was kind of putting together a roster. But if you remember at that time, we were still in COVID. We couldn't literally go out and see kids in person. Everything was done on film. We couldn't literally bring guys on campus and interview them, build a relationship, you know, figure out what kind of personalities they were. And that's a big part of it, too, is, you know, sometimes like, hey, on film, this guy looks very talented. But then when you get him, you know, maybe the work ethic's not there.
Right.
Maybe the feel for the game is not quite there. Some things that you can't quite measure when you don't really get to see them in person or necessarily sit down and talk to them. So we were dealing with those two factors. And now, you know, going forward, you kind of see how this thing has evolved with the NILs and the transfer portal and all those different things. So, yeah, so now it's not so much, hey, just grabbing talented guys out of the portal. It's okay, like, let's really dig deep, do
right.
some homework on the background. What kind of player he is? Is he going to come in and be a program guy, or is he coming in with
right.
an agenda? You know, coming to get mine, because that translates to losing as well.
That's the thing with Akron, who you're going up against, Enrique Freeman, Ali, some of those seniors. Yeah, they've had great careers, they're tremendous players, and they've been there for a while. But it's part of that too. Like Akron's been winning, easier to hold on to people when they're winning. When there's struggles and guys don't like their roles, they want to go somewhere else and think they can fit in. And that's the whole thing, like, that I think for you is the toughest challenge. Like, you're a phenomenal coach. You wouldn't be doing this for as long as you have if you weren't. But it's to get, you have to flip the program into the W's. Then you can hang on to guys, and then everything changes from there. Does that sound accurate?
That sounds accurate. But I think if you can get the right guys, if you're, you know, like, let's say we've got 3-4 scholarships, whatever it may be, and you get the right guys, because I do think I have some good, solid pieces. But if I can get the right guys that are about winning, that bring some talent level, that check some boxes, like, we were really guard short this year. So we
yes.
got to get some guards. And a guard that, you know, maybe has a little bit of a leadership, point guard mentality, facilitate, make the game easier. There's so many stats we have to improve on offensively. We got to get our assists up. We got to get our turnovers down. We got to get our three-point shooting at a higher rate. And we also have to have an inside presence to score the ball. Now, Billingsley is coming along with that. You know, Acuff is one of those guys that is going, let's be honest, like, it's the elephant in the room. He is going to be targeted. He's got a year
100%.
Left. 100%. And everybody at high majors, all kind of people are going to be like, hey, man, I'd like to have that guy in this program. Now, I think without an NIL, without some of those other things, Acuff's not leaving. He's staying here. He loves it here. But with those other factors, you don't know. And you wouldn't blame a kid if he did.
Right, and that's the whole thing. One of the top scorers in the nation. Everybody's looking. Everybody wants to get better. If they can pluck him, you know.
Absolutely.
That's the whole battle. Acuff, as we mentioned him, had the injury. Is he pretty much done for the year? Do you think he'll be able to get back?
No, I think he's very possible. I think it's really doubtful, Akron, but very, very possible for Central.
Because offense, it's just tough.
It's not the same.
When you've been running the motor one way the entire season,
yeah.
and now you take out that key piece, everybody's trying to redefine their roles a little bit.
It's a huge impact on our team. But, you know, the one thing I think, if you look at what we have been maybe over the last 5 or 6 games, we probably, if you just took our last 5 or 6 games, we're probably one of the top 3 teams defensively.
100%.
Like, our defense has been outstanding. And so, you know, you can see, you know, something that's really working for us right now on one end, and now we've got to pick it up on the other end. And it's hard to say where we'd be offensively if he's healthy.
Right, right. All right, well, 2 to go, and at this point, it's just you just try and disrupt people's seasons, right?
Absolutely. We're always playing for something.
Yeah.
You're always playing for something. So either as a player, you're playing to show, you know, what I can do, you know, for this season, for next season, for the future. Or you're trying to, again, you know, let people know, like, hey, we're not no pushover. Like, we're coming to show up and play every single day. So building your culture, that's what I talked about, is no matter what the situation is, Eastern Michigan is coming to play.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us. As well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game, as well as standard printing and design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Folding Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
All right, joining me now, Keisha Blanton. And last time we talked, you opened up this entire world of NFL football. Your dad, and I started looking into him, your dad played college football at Kentucky.
Yes.
Was drafted in the 11th round, which they don't even have anymore, by Buffalo. Somehow he ends up with Kansas City and has a nice NFL career. Plays like 6 years in the NFL.
Yes. Yeah, he had a really, really good career as far as NFL in that time and withstanding and staying with one team. And, you know, he played and it was really cool kind of growing up knowing that.
When did you come into the picture? Did you ever, like, you were not old enough? Like, you don't remember any? Have you gone back and looked at game footage of him playing?
I've just seen pictures. I haven't seen any games.
Because I know he had a pick, he had a couple sacks, he had a couple fumble recoveries.
Yes, I haven't seen actual film, but I've always looked at the picture. I have his jersey still, like the jersey he played in and everything. So I keep that, and, you know, it'll go up in the house one day with a frame, but it's pretty cool when, you know, jersey day at school, everybody's wearing somebody else's jersey, and I was wearing, you know, my own jersey.
And so it's fascinating that your brother is in the NFL and he's with the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's hard for one person in a family to make it to the league, let alone you've got this father-son combination. Your brother's won technically 3 Super Bowls because he's on the practice squad with the Chiefs this year, right?
Oh, he was up until midseason. So he's got 2 Super Bowls, and then midseason they let him go on the practice squad, and he's just been, you know.
Do you get a ring if you were there half the year, or do you have to be there at the end?
I think you have to be there at the end.
Okay.
Yeah, but 2 Super Bowl rings, you know, he's had an experience that, I mean, obviously none of us have had. He's a winner. And, you know, he's a winner in college at Mizzou. He was a winner with the Rams, a winner with the Chiefs, and hopefully he'll get another opportunity this year to go back with the Chiefs.
You enjoy coaching. Did you ever think of going the football direction and making a path in that?
I love football. You know, I was the kid that I always wanted to play football. My mom was like, no, you're a girl, so find a different sport.
Thanks, Mom.
But, I mean, always it crosses my mind. You know, I watched my brother a lot, watched all his games, and you're constantly critiquing, seeing what he could have done better, how he could have blocked better. From an offensive perspective. So, yeah, I mean, I love football. Like, I am a football junkie. And, you know, the Rams were my favorite team before he went.
Really?
Like, St. Louis Rams.
Okay, I was going to say the St. Louis Rams.
St. Louis Rams were my favorite team. So then he went to the Rams, and it was like, I get to cheer for my brother, but I get to cheer for my team. So it was really cool.
And started in a Super Bowl in which you didn't go to because your team at Oakland had a game that day. And I got to tell you, it would be real hard to not just say, you guys got this. I'm going to the Super Bowl. We'll see how it plays out.
I definitely thought about it. I mean, I think that's the competitiveness in our family is like, hey, you know, you have to focus on what you have to focus on. And we're all doing our own things as far as sports. So
I get that. But how many times does a family member start? Higby was hurt, right? So
yes.
He started at tight end in the Super Bowl, won a ring that day.
It's crazy. I know. I should have gone to the game, but it was awesome just to be a part of it and, you know, to talk to him and watch him just have so much success and fun in that moment.
If you made it to the NCAA tournament, I would expect him to put aside something and come see his sister coach a team, but that's just, it's been laid down now. Like, it's just like, you do what you got to do. You can make it great, but if not, we're all going to be successful in our own way, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I watched the game with the biggest smile on my face.
Of course.
And got to see, you know, him live out his dream, which was really fun. And, you know, it's always the babies that are the best.
I don't know if that's true because I'm the oldest child.
I don't know. I was trying to give everything I had to the younger ones. And he definitely, he made us all proud. He's got rings that we all hope we have one day.
Well, let's talk about earning rings and winning games. You have been under the umbrella of interim head coach for most of this season. How do you feel about your position right now? Obviously, you're a candidate to be the head coach here. If you were on the other side of the table, do you think you've done enough to earn the job?
I mean, I think it depends on what you're looking for. If you're basing it off of just pure wins and losses, then no. But if you're basing it off player growth, change of culture, seeing a team just flat out compete every night that they stepped on the court, and being people and a staff that are impacting them on and off the court, then yeah, I think we've done the job. But on wins and losses, you know, if you just look purely at wins and losses, it's tough. You say no, but I know, you know, regardless of the situation, that we've done something to help this program go in the right direction going forward.
That's the thing. If you look statistically, players have been better, attitude has been better, effort has been better. You're right, the wins and losses haven't been there, but that's not everything, especially when you take over a team midstream and you've got to turn the boat around. It's not an easy task to do, and I know you've been interim head coach before, but it's difficult. You've learned from those past experiences.
Absolutely.
But with your feet always up against the fire, it's tough, isn't it?
It is, but you know, I would say this was a much different situation than the past times I took over. When I took over at Oakland, you know, they were already kind of running my system. I was in charge of defense. I was putting in a lot of the offensive plays. And really, you know, I was running a lot of what was going on. And this time it was taking over a system that completely wasn't mine and trying to redefine it and make it mine. And I've had two different, you know, the first time I took over at Oakland, I didn't change anything. Mm-hmm. The second time I changed it, we go to the semifinals. And, you know, I just thought this time I'm going to change it and we're going to make, you know, as many adjustments as we can to be successful. And, you know, we're in games, we're just not winning games. And I feel like that was the final piece of teaching them to win. And it's hard to win when you aren't used to winning. You know, winning is the hardest thing you do. Losing is a lot easier than winning. And I don't think a lot of people understand that.
You get two more shots at winning here in the final week of the season. It will certainly not be easy. You're playing the number one team in the conference in Toledo. In Toledo. That is a huge task. But you guys gave them a fist fight last time around.
We did, you know, and this time will be a little bit different. We're going in with seven players, and we're going to figure it out as we go in. But, you know, the best thing is for me is I get to go home and, you know, I'm so excited. I have so many people come in to just support us, win, loss, or draw. We're going to have a really good crowd. And so to be able to finish this season against, one, you know, my alma mater, but two, then go finish it against our arch rivals when I was at Toledo and BG, mm-hmm. What better way to write the story? And, you know, being the underdog and not having those expectations, I think our team can really rise and hopefully surprise them.
Well, you've had injuries. You guys have been up against it. Now you're at a point in the season where there's really nothing to play for but trying to knock off a team like Toledo or Bowling Green. What are you trying to get out of this team in the final two games?
You know, the team has finally gotten to the point that I wanted them to, which was to be player-led. And Kennedy Miles has done an amazing job the last four games of really leading our team. And she gave a speech after the Ball State game. And she said, guys, we're playing for ourselves. We're playing for our pride. We're playing for Eastern Michigan. And I didn't even follow up the speech because I thought she said everything that I was thinking. And so you always are playing for something when you put on that uniform, when you represent a program, but you're also representing yourself. So, you know, like the Titanic, if the ship goes down, we're going to go down playing. And we're going to go down, you know, the best band there is. So we're going to fight hard, and we're going to keep playing until the time runs out.
Keisha Blanton, thank you for your time. Good luck against Toledo.
Thank you.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast, your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.